And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
Welcome in this morning to The Cradle and the Convert. This is Dave Slade, your host. By myself today, I gave Mark the day off. I'm going to sit here today and I'm going to chat with Tom Noonan, and I have Isabella Ledesma coming in. She's going to talk about her flight on a biplane for an essay she wrote about the 9/11 memorial down in the park. We're going to have a gospel preview and some community calendar. Last week when Mark and I finished the show, we were talking about the harvest and about all the vehicles out on the roads, the big farm implements, the harvesters and all of that. And I found it interesting as I was doing some research for the show today that, according to the USA Today, deadly vehicle crashes spiked in this country for the second straight year, hitting a 9-year high, despite a lot of the new safety features that are built into cars, the airbags, the GPS, and all of that stuff. And they said the key reasons for the increase in accidents were speeding, not wearing seat belts, and rise in motorcycle deaths. And I would add to that, the one that I always saw the most when I was a police officer was following too closely. We have a tendency to get too close to the person in front of us, and if that person makes an emergency stop or something, we can't get stopped. But car accidents in 2016 killed 37,500 Americans. That's up 5.6% from the year before, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. This upward trend reverses the fatalities. They fell in the six of the last 7 years, from 07 to 14. Deaths are up from an all-time low of 33,700. So we saw more than 4,000 more deaths last year. Though vehicle safety technology is better than ever, other factors contribute to the deadly increase, and you can probably guess what part of that is. And I would have guessed immediately distracted driving, texting, eating while driving, playing with the radio, and that type of thing. But according to this study, distracted driving has diminished and dropped by 2.2% to 3,500 total deaths, according to NHTSA. The increase in deaths in 2016 was largely attributable to other mistakes by drivers and passengers, including a 4% increase in speeding deaths, 4.6% in fatalities due to unbelted passengers, and a 5.1% increase in motorcycle deaths. And you know, you see all over neighborhoods the signs that say start seeing motorcycles. And I have thought that people are probably getting a little better at seeing motorcycles. They have to have their light on, and they're usually pretty, you're able to see them, and they're loud, most of them. So, but that number has risen. So let's watch out for motorcycles during the fall here in the last months or two, that they'll be riding until the winter season gets here and most of the bikers have to put up their machines. Again, keep your eyes open for farm equipment, the tractors and the harvesters and all of that. And drive careful, because I know if you're listening to the show today while you're driving, I know you're really intent and probably even looking at the radio as I speak. So be careful out there as you drive. Mark and I both, as police officers, worked a lot of accidents, many fatalities, and it can really destroy a family. So be careful as you drive. Now, like I told you, I'm going to have my first guest this morning, Tom Noonan from St. Teresa High School, is going to come on and talk to us about Catholic Athletes for Christ, a program that all the athletic sports out at St. Teresa are using this year at the recommendation of Bishop Thomas John Paprocki. We'll find out what that's all about. We'll have Isabella Ledesma on here after him to talk about her flight in a biplane, because she wrote a nice essay about 9/11. And we'll have our regular features on the show, too. So stay with me. You're here listening to The Cradle and the Convert on WDCR, Decatur Catholic Radio for Decatur and Central Illinois.
Driving means
freedom,
exploration,
fun,
pride,
flexibility,
travel, protection,
ability, friendship,
escape,
independence.
Distracted driving means
danger,
recklessness,
irresponsible,
chaos,
police,
devastation,
injuries,
tears,
death.
Safe driving means staying alert and staying alive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome to a place where healthcare goes beyond four walls, where friendships begin, where our family comes together to care for yours, At HSHS St. Mary's Hospital, you'll find outstanding physicians and some of the region's most advanced specialties. We're bringing it all together right here in Decatur, where something even better starts right now. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital and HSHS Medical Group, working together as part of Hospital Sisters Health System.
All right, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade. Mark has the day off. I'm sitting here in the studio this morning with Tom Noonan, teacher out at St. Teresa High School, teacher slash coach. Tom's been out at St. Teresa. How long now, Tom?
I started in 2007, January 2007.
Okay. And your main duties out there at St. T are what?
I teach world history. So every freshman that comes into St. Teresa, they're in my world history class. I also teach current events to upperclassmen as well as psychology, and I also have two athletic training courses.
Great.
After that, I'm the head basketball coach for the boys program.
The Bulldogs. Okay. Where did you go to college, Tom?
I went to Millikan.
Did you?
So when I was in high school, I decided I wanted to play baseball somewhere, and Millikan was my best option to do that. And I played college baseball. But during the winter, I got really, really bored. So I started to volunteer back with Coach Volan, who was our boys basketball coach at St. Teresa at that time. Kind of got hooked on coaching, and really got hooked on coaching basketball. I really thought I was going to be a baseball coach when it was all said and done. But I fell in love with coaching in the winter. I'm not a big fan of cold weather.
Yeah, who is?
And being in the gym was a great way to bridge the fall to spring, and fell in love with kind of having five guys become a team. And that's kind of where I've found my calling.
Well, and you've kind of got the welcome back Cotter thing going on, right? Because you went to St. Teresa, and now you're teaching at St. Teresa, and probably on staff with many of the people that you were taught by. That's got to be neat.
Yeah, it's very unique. Originally, it was somewhat uncomfortable of, you know, what do I call them? How do we talk to each other? But everybody at St. Teresa has been great welcoming me back, and now it's going to turn into the point where we have those students coming back and hopefully teaching with me.
Yeah, you know, I understand that. Every time I see one of my old teachers from high school, and believe me, they're old now, but it's always, hi, Mr. Walker, hi, Mr. Drew. You know, they're maybe 7 or 8 years older than me, but that's always the way I referred to them, and it just feels funny to use their first names, you know?
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, I've got kids coming back now. I call them kids. They're 25, 26, 27 years old, and I'm still coach. And I guess I always will, because my coaches are still coach to me.
I hear you. So, listen, I know you're coaching and you're doing a lot of mentoring there, but one of the programs that St. Teresa has taken on, and I think it's a great one, is called Catholic Athletes for Christ, or CAC. And from what I understand, it's to bring them closer to their faith. You have a weekly theme. The bishop looked into this and thought it was a great thing. Did you tell me during the break that this is something that the diocese is doing with all of the Catholic schools, high schools?
Yeah, Bishop Paparocki has called on each Catholic high school in the diocese to try to open up a chapter as best they could. There are a lot of high schools in the United States that have an FCA.
Mm-hmm. Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Christian Athletes. And there are a lot of Catholic high schools that also had that. But this is kind of becoming more Catholic. Identity in the sacraments and in the prayers, and, you know, helping Catholic athletes practice their faith and then also teach the Gospels through athletics. And Bishop Paparocki called on us about 3 years ago to attend the meeting and introduced a couple of ideas to us, a couple of lessons, and it was a very open discussion on what do we think would work for our students, and each year it's kind of grown. And at St. Teresa this year, it's really starting to kind of take a good identity.
Well, and it's important, isn't it, to keep the kids involved in their faith while in high school. There's so many other things going on. As long as we can keep a finger in the pie, keeping their faith in the forefront, or even back in the background, as long as it's there, it's going to stick for the most part, right?
Yeah.
Now, I know at St. Teresa, too, we have a lot of non-Catholic students, but this is a good outreach for them as well, right?
Absolutely. All students are invited. Each Friday of the school year, we have chapel mass at 7:15, and it's great to see the attendance by those students who are Catholic and also non-Catholic. And really, you see some kids starting to become curious about the Catholic faith. And that's been a great reach out program with them. And then on Fridays that we have all school mass, we'll have a Catholic Athletes for Christ meeting. And we've seen a lot of athletes and non-athletes also attend. I think we had around 30 students at our first meeting, somewhere around 20 at our second meeting. And Father Ayersman has been great helping with this, as well as Rusty Ramsey, who coaches with our football team. Mm-hmm. And our other coach has been really great at promoting it. So it's been nice to kind of take a step back. It's really good for me because you get caught up in the intensity and the grind. And then on a Friday morning, you can kind of step back and you're reminded, all right, this is why we do everything we do.
Yeah, that's nice. And I think you're talking, too, about this creates a certain unity among the players when it comes to being brothers, playing sports, and being brothers in Christ. And it's just, it seems to me like something that would be so fulfilling as a student to be able to also kind of wear on my sleeve a little bit that I am a Catholic and that I am an athlete, and that those two things can go hand in hand, and that they can then spread their faith amongst their families and that type of thing. It's almost like Sunday school on Friday, it sounds like, a little bit. So there, you have a theme each week, from what I understand, and you go through kind of, is it a set program where the themes are set out and they build on each other? Or how does that work, Tom?
With our entire school, we have implemented a theme this year of learning to lead. And Catholic Athletes for Christ kind of headed up a virtue of the week within the theme learning to lead. So it's learning to lead in our school community, learning to lead in our community, learning to lead on the athletic field, learning to lead a more holier life, learning to lead a life of virtue. And we took the 36 weeks of school, and we identified 36 virtues of what would be good for a leader to have. And this week, we're focusing on teamwork, how to work with others. Last week, it was respecting those. Previously in CAC, the big virtue that we worked with was encouragement, encourage our teammates, encourage those around us. So as a school, we have a virtue of the week, and with CAC, each month, we have a meeting to try to teach a more important lesson or a more in-depth lesson on those virtues. But each day we have a Bible verse or a quote about that virtue to remind our students this is what we stand for.
Now, you say that this is a season, or not a season long, but a school year long thing. So are the baseball players and the basketball players involved in Catholic Athletes for Christ at this point in the season? And will the football players hopefully continue? It's a year-long thing.
That's the idea, is to get as many students involved, get as many students talking about their faith. And one thing that Father Ayersman and I have discussed is having students lead the lessons. Now, it's great for me as a player. It'd be great to hear my coach speak of his faith. But when teammates start to share with each other, I think it becomes even more powerful. And that's what we're trying to get to.
Yeah, you know, role models, as the coaches or as Father Ayersman, hey, that is big. But peers and in peer pressure can be positive or negative, I suppose. I'd never thought of it like that. So there's an open forum, and there's they share ideas and talk about their faith. And
our last meeting, which was in September, we try to have one meeting a month. Our last meeting was about encouragement, and I believe the lesson was the heart sees more than the eyes. It was we told the story of a wrestler who was a blind wrestler, and he had kind of been given a bad break with being blind, but also not a lot of people allowed him to be a part of their team. And a lot of people didn't. There's one high school that said, you can't attend here if you want to wrestle. You must go to a different school. And he's out in New Jersey, and he eventually had an unbelievable high school career. But it was a story of encouragement. Somebody gave him a chance. Somebody encouraged him, and he believed more than he could see. And kind of trying to help those around us encourage each other was our lesson on that morning. I thought our students did a really good job with discussing it, with encouraging others. They gave ideas. And also, if they see somebody in the community like that wrestler, I believe his name was Anthony Ferraro, of what we could do to help lead them.
Well, let me remind everybody, you're listening to The Cradle and the Convert with Tom Noonan this morning, the basketball coach at St. Teresa and history teacher, and we're talking about Catholic Athletes for Christ. Tom, St. Teresa was always a big Ursuline community back in the day. The Ursuline Convent was there on the site till it burnt down in 78, I believe. They rebuilt one, and there's just not a whole lot of religious out there anymore. That I think maybe Sister Rosemary may be about it. Is that right?
Yes, yeah, Sister Rosemary is currently our only nun who teaches there.
And, of course, Father Erisman is the chaplain and the spiritual director. Do we teach the Catholic faith at St. Teresa? Is there a regimen for teaching the Catholic faith at St. T?
Absolutely. Every student is in a theology class for every semester they attend. We have Servium clubs. We have an Avalites group, which is a group that tries to reach out and spread the Holy Spirit through the church, through the school. So every single day our students are going to theology class. Every morning we start with prayer. We start with our virtue of the week each day. And the Catholic identity of the school is really strong right now.
Well, that's great. And, you know, the church really needs strong male role models. And I think that's wonderful that the faculty is involved in Father Erisman, who I feel is a very charismatic speaker and priest. We've had him on here several times, just a great guy. And I think that the kids would really like him. You know, he was an Eagle Scout and the Boy Scouts and has been involved with youth ministries. And what a great fit. What a great fit that is.
Yeah, Father Erisman, he's been great. He demands a lot of our students. Early on, I don't think every student wanted to rise to that. And now I see kids flocking to go talk to him.
Oh, that's
and,
great.
And Father Erisman's been great with that. And right now he is just starting. You know, this week we have our sophomore retreat with our sophomore boys are on their quest retreat. Father Erisman's part of the leadership team with that, and I'll be joining them tomorrow with that.
Now, where do they do that retreat?
It's over at Camp Warren in Mount Zion.
Okay, so they actually leave campus to go to this retreat, and that's the sophomores. And I know the seniors do
it's Kairos.
Kairos,
yes.
A Kairos retreat, and they used to go down south somewhere. I'm not sure where they go now, but...
I know last year there it was in the Bloomington area, but Kairos is a three-day retreat. Quest is a two-day retreat. And those retreats, when I was a student at St. Teresa, played a huge part in my faith formation. And when I talk to my classmates, those retreats are something that we always talk about.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, that's a great thing about being able to go to a faith-based school where people can pray and they can share their religion. You know, in the public schools, it's not encouraged. In fact, it can be somewhat frowned upon. And, you know, we talk about how God lets things happen in some of these schools, and we have to remember that a lot of these schools, we've just kind of asked God not to step in. We've actually pushed him aside. But not at St. Teresa. St. Teresa High School is an Ursuline High School here in Decatur, Illinois, with how many students this year, Tom?
Right now, I believe we have 226.
220. Strong Alumni Association. A lot of big donors, great people. And you were talking about leadership, and in this community alone, I can think of some of the biggest businesses in town are owned by St. Teresa alumni. We've had a mayor, Mike McElroy, who was an alumni of St. Teresa. It's a great school. It's a great place to be. I'm so glad that you guys have taken this project on, working with the kids to continue with the Catholic Athletes for Christ. It just sounds like a great thing, and I hope that that instead of the numbers going down, that they continue to go up, and the girls are involved in this as well, all the sports.
Absolutely, yes.
It sounds wonderful, man. I congratulate you on that. Keep preaching the faith. We'll have to have good luck for the rest of the football season to get to where we want to go, and then you'll kick off basketball, November?
We're 4 weeks away from the start of basketball. We start practice on November 6th, but there's plenty of soccer left. There's plenty of cross-country left.
There's plenty of football.
Yeah, a soccer team, they just advanced to the regional final. So they'll play the regional final Saturday morning over in Williamsville. So if you can get out and support, they're a fun group to watch. And a lot of those players on the soccer team, they attend Mass every single Friday, and they attend our CAC meetings, and they've contributed a lot to our groups.
Good. Well, I want to ask our listeners to keep Tom in your prayers. Tom's come in on his own time here today to talk to us, to think about St. Teresa High School. Think of the students out there and pray for them, for their success. Tom, I think you have a prayer, and we may use this now instead of as a closing prayer, the Catholic Athletes for Christ prayer. Would you like to lead that for us?
Sure. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Almighty God, giver of all good gifts, we thank and praise you for the gifts and talents we have received, in our body as well as in mind, heart, and soul. Bless us that we may always use these gifts to the best of our abilities. May we approach our athletic endeavors with courage and humility, virtue and valor, enjoyment and fun, but never hatred or hostility. Keep us safe and strong and free from all injury and harm. May the Holy Spirit inspire us to lead from our experiences, to keep us from conceit when we win and from resentment when we lose. May our efforts give you glory. Help us to live not only as a Catholic athlete for Christ in sports, but to live virtuously for Christ throughout our lives. Protect us from all evil, vice, and temptations to sin. May our body, mind, heart, and soul always be united with Christ, who reigns victorious over sin and death, with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Great prayer. Covers it all. Tom Noonan, St. Teresa teacher, coach, and all-around good guy coming in today to talk to us about Catholic Athletes for Christ. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for joining us. We'll have you back. We'll have you back during basketball season, okay?
That sounds great. Thank you very much.
All right. You're listening to The Cradle and the Convert here on 88.9, 96.5 WDCR, and I'll be back in just a minute.
Talk radio for Catholic life for Macon County.
Talk radio for Catholic life.
W243 DF Decatur and WDCR Oriana. Decatur Catholic Radio, 88.9 and 96.5 FM.
All right, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, your host this morning, and we're going to fly with the Eagles here. That song by Steve Miller reminds us that we're going to be talking to a student from St. Patrick's School, which are the Eagles, and that she actually got to fly like an eagle more than anybody I think I've ever met in my life by going for a ride in a biplane. In the studio with me this morning, I have Isabella Ledesma. Good morning, Isabella.
Good morning.
And her mother, Kim. And the reason we asked Isabella to stop in this morning was to tell us about a recent adventure she's had this fall that involved the 911 memorial, it involved writing an essay, and it involved riding in a biplane. Isabella, what can you tell me about all that? What happened that you got chosen to go for this cool ride?
I have no clue what... I don't know how I did it, but I'm going to have to guess it was about my donating about $40 to this memorial.
Okay, that's the memorial down in Nelson Park?
Uh-huh.
And how did you raise $40?
I sold cookies and lemonade.
Did you really?
Yes.
And where did you do that at?
At a garage sale at my house.
Cool. Okay, and so then the schools were kind of involved in a contest, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And the schools that raised the most money were...
Got a raffle ticket,
uh-huh.
And they got the raffle ticket for the ride in a biplane, and only like the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders could type out an essay, and like whoever who like got it could ride the biplane, and... That was me.
Okay, so St. Patrick's School in downtown Decatur won the raffle,
mm-hmm.
and then the school decided to do this essay contest,
mm-hmm.
basically, and you wrote an essay that was reviewed by the teachers and the staff?
Like 7 teachers, they said.
Okay, and they picked yours, and you brought that with you today, didn't you?
Uh-huh.
Would you like to read that for our listeners at home?
Yes.
All right, here's Isabella's essay on 9/11.
September 11th, 2001 is the day I never heard of until I learned of the lives taken and the people that have cried. I heard a very sad story and I did not know what was happening at that time. Now I feel more touched than ever. On September 11th, 2001, I was not yet born, but when I grew up, I heard my family and other people talking about a horrible event that happened on that day. Every single year, I think of the families that have lost relatives. They have horrible nightmares years after the attack, and they cry for whom they lost. It is hard to describe how touching this is. I want to share my love with the people who have lost loved ones, and I want them to share happy memories with me. I want to create something that they will love forever and hold it in their hearts. The calls from when the families heard their loved ones' last words, I felt like sobbing to let my heart out, to share my love to the families. It scares and touches me that people that wanted to take us down are ruining families of God. That day went down in history because of all the families and the heroes that have tried to save so many lives. This tragedy was horrid of the people that think they could ruin perfect, innocent lives. 2 months ago, or 4 months ago, I guess now, I had donated almost $40 to the fundraiser for the Beam. That $40 was from selling cookies and lemonade from a garage sale 1 week before this fundraiser came up. The people I gave it to were very impressed and wanted to interview me. I felt very bad for the families that have lost relatives. I wanted to help and share my love.
You know, that is very eloquent. And Isabella is an eighth grader at St. Patrick's School who was not born yet at the time of the attack on the Twin Towers. And to be able to get your arms around all of that that you put in that essay is very, very impressive. Now, I was a police officer during that time here in Decatur. And, you know, to see the police officers rush in and the firefighters rush in, it sunk our hearts, too. We all wanted to be there and take part of it. But the way you have reduced that to writing and put into words is absolutely beautiful. Congratulations. I can see why you won. That's very, very nice. Now, when they were doing the beam, when they were unveiling the monument down in the park, there was a New York firefighter here in town.
Yes.
And his name, I believe, was Tim Duffy.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have an opportunity to meet him while
he
was here? Tell me a little bit about Firefighter Duffy.
Well, he said that a photographer took a picture of him, you know, while he was riding his motorcycle down looking for other survivors and other things like that. And he said that he tried saving a lot of lives. And I think last week he said something about him. He was very lucky to be alive. I think that he kind of got a lot of dust in his face. And he had to wear like a bandana, I think he said, to put around his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that didn't really work well. And I think that's what caused him to not breathe for a while. So,
yeah, I think a lot of that dust, and when you look back at the pictures, you see those huge clouds of dust and all kinds of chemicals and asbestos and stuff. And there's a lot of those firefighters and police officers to this day are struggling with pulmonary diseases and things like that. Kind of an unusual thing. They call it the 9/11 syndrome, that disease, because there weren't enough respirators on the scene for those. And, of course, you know, firemen, when they're going through a scene like that, they're going to do everything they can do to save a life. And sometimes, even if they don't have the proper protective gear, we know they can put their lives on the line for you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since you've had this experience and you got picked to go for an airplane ride, right? Tell me a little bit about the airplane.
The airplane was white and checkered. It was small from like the side of it, but when you go in front of it, it's humongous. Like, it's humongous. The size of the airplane reminds me of, you know, regular biplanes. It looked very, very vintage looking, and it looked very neat to go on. I was very excited.
So for our listeners, a biplane is not a plane you go inside, is it? You get on it.
Like, it's open.
It's open, and the wind blows on you.
Yeah, and very windy.
It must be amazing to what you can see from being in a regular airplane to this open. Now, you got to go up. Was it a nice day?
Yes, it was.
And what did it look like? What did the city of Decatur look like from that high up?
It looked pretty neat. I mean, it, like, I got